The Skiffy and Fanny Show is listener-supported, which means basically you guys listen and we feel really good about ourselves. But if you'd also like to help us a little bit, you can go to audibletrial.com/skiffyandfanty, sign up for a one-month free trial membership, get a free book, which is pretty cool, and the bonus is that it helps us a little bit. So go ahead and check that out at audibletrial.com/skiffyandfanty and enjoy the interview.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 133.
Somehow managing to be more inaccurate than Stargate.
Okay.
That's great.
Julia gets it.
Yeah, I know. I got it. I've got a. I believe I have a Stargate joke somewhere in our skit.
Oh, good, because there should be lots of them concerning the film that we have just watched today. Yes,
which clearly borrowed half of its damn ideas from Stargate, with the exception of the Stargates.
Exactly.
So anyway, so today's our torture cinema episode. I'm Sean.
I'm Jen.
I'm Julia.
And we are reviewing 10,000 BC.
Yay.
Which at least is not the worst film we've ever watched.
But... sad but true.
And you weren't even here in the Dark Ages, Julia, when we watched Uwe Boll films.
Ugh. I watched the Star Wars Holiday Special.
That's true.
Still,
she did.
Still better than an Uwe Boll film.
I'm trying to decide which one was worse. I think I was actually more amused by the Star Wars Holiday Special than I have been by any Uwe Boll film. Or that Nick Cage movie that we watched. Which was that one?
Season of the Witch.
I watched Season of the Witch.
No, not that one. Not that one. The other one.
Nick Cage films?
Yeah, we have, because Nick
Cage... Oh, The Wicker Man? Did you guys watch
that one?
Yeah, that's right.
The Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man.
I've only seen the best of clips from that on YouTube.
They're best of clips?
Yeah, you can see pretty much, like, it's all Nick Cage punching women in the face and then eventually getting, like, attacked by bees.
Does he punches so many women? I don't know why that's funny.
It shouldn't be funny.
It works because in the end he gets stuffed into a wicker man and attacked by bees.
And
yeah,
killed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
It's all good because the women take their revenge.
Although to be fair, like without context, you don't know why he's punching women. I don't know.
Rat bastard, that's why. All right, 10,000 BC, who's giving the thingamajiggy that we do at the beginning?
I mean, I could just do it. I'll just give
Vicky
30 second. All right, so 10,000 BC is basically the most historically inaccurate version of early human history imaginable. Imagine, if you will, you took Stargate, took out the aliens, took out all of the cool weaponry and stuff, and you just basically mixed that with cavemen... and somehow geography that doesn't make any sense.
You just, like, stole half my dislikes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we haven't gotten into it at all, so that's fine.
I know.
I haven't even told you the plot. The basic plot is there's a prophecy about a dude he's going to be, like, leading people. And so
The prophecy is that the blue-eyed child will bring life to the tribe.
Yeah.
And the warrior will go after her.
Because only white people can save the world.
Exactly. But that gets into some of my likes and dislikes.
She's not actually white.
Yes.
Yeah, sure she is.
But let's save that for later.
Okay.
I'm aware.
So, yeah, but the basic idea is girl gets stolen, guy goes finding her.
After her. The end.
Saves the world, kind of. only in an accurate historical version, he doesn't actually save the world because we know exactly what happens later.
We so, do. Well, well yeah. The aliens come down and on Independence Day, and then Will Smith destroys them.
I think that's a little bit later. I was thinking more like basically Stargate is what happens next.
Oh, right. Yeah. That is probably what happens next. So this is all actually taking place on a different planet. That's my hope.
No, this is on Earth. This is Stargate before it was Stargate. So this is like the experiment from the aliens, and then the one alien got like stabbed, and so it was like, oh, and so they left. And then
you are trying to make this make so much more sense and be more fun than it is. Can you just stop?
No, I can't. I need it. I desperately need it, Julia. So anyway, all right. So why don't we get to our 5x5s and start with you, Jen. What is your first like?
I really like the caveman's beard.
What?
Maybe you didn't notice it, but it was like the only cool thing about this entire movie. So for some reason, they apparently have already invented razors.
Shaving equipment? Yeah.
Yeah. Because the main character, who has like one of the stupidest names ever, I'm pretty sure it's Delay or something,
yeah,
which
Delay.
Makes me just think of Tom Delay, and that just makes me giggle a little bit. But
that makes it better.
Exactly. His beard is like striped and all like spiffy-fied. And
meanwhile, he has dreadlocks.
Dreads with beads. Made out of glass in 10,000 BC, which is kind of awesome. And
if you live in the mountains, so supposedly there's like a one volcano around there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, science.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, his beard. It was cool looking. The end.
Also, there are characters who are clean shaven.
Yes.
And I don't mean like they're shaved so they just have stubble.
Like pure, clean shaven.
Right, yes. Like they went to like a professional barber and had their face done. Yeah.
And they're not like ethnicities that typically are known to be clean shaven either.
Right, they're not. It's confusing. So, it's weird. All right, Julia.
I did appreciate the very well-coiffed beardages.
Okay, so the historically inaccurate beards you enjoyed.
Yes, it was funny. It amused me.
All right, Julia.
Okay.
Put some life into it. Jeez.
It was really hard.
It's really hard to come up with things I like about this movie. But for the first one, I will say that sometimes the cinematography was really nice. Sometimes it was just really annoying because they did the, like, desaturating blue thing. And so it looked a lot like Twilight, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But sometimes there were some nice shots and... Like, there was, in particular, there was a very, very nice shot at the end after they win and they're saying goodbye to the Naku tribe that they've made friends with. And the hero, Delay, whose name is actually literally hero in German spelled backwards.
Aww.
Yes, and that's on purpose.
Vomit.
Yes. He puts his forehead against the forehead of the leader of the Naku tribe, and they, like, sort of embrace and put their hands around so that they're touching the backs of each other's heads. And it's kind of really stupid, but at the same time, just from a visual standpoint, that shot is gorgeous. And you know they know it's gorgeous because they linger on it for, like, 30 seconds.
For a really long time. They do.
Yeah. And they do it with the children, too.
That you're like, yes, that's cool. That's, like, the only good... imagery you've had in this entire movie, and then they sit there and
they're like, I want you to make sure that you're actually admiring this. We did this intentionally.
I actually really liked that scene.
It was horrible.
I liked the visual.
Horny.
So that was my first like.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm gonna I am going to just change one of mine to something that you just maybe think of, which is I just really like the inspirational bits in this whole movie.
There were inspirational bits?
What are you talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, I
hold
really
on.
Am totally
aside,
missing it.
Aside from certain things we'll get to later involving lady folk and other race issues and cultural issues, there are like lots of little moments throughout the film where I just thought like this is like Roland Emmerich's imaginary version of history that is influenced by 20th century cultural values, 21st century cultural values. Because like there are moments when it's like, okay, they show up, right? These people have never seen like dark-skinned African style people ever. Right, presumably they've been isolated.
Oh yeah, and they're right? Like,
and they
totally
meet them.
Cool.
And, like,
I beg to differ because like half their tribe seems to be mixed race.
We'll get to that in a minute. But they act as though they've never seen them, right? And there's a tense moment because they're kind of looking at each other and they think like one group is going to attack the other, and then they become like buddies.
Okay, wait though. The only reason they become buddies is because the white dude can speak to the saber-toothed cat.
Yes, and there are magical Negroes, too. I get it.
And because – and this is totally getting into
the prophecy.
Never mind. I will leave it until I talk about it later.
I'm not saying there aren't problems with it. I'm saying that
– that you find really dumb things inspirational.
Well, there's like the –
horribly
gives a speech
problematic
and
things.
And she says, you know, they're all going to go fight, and then they go fight, and they have this – battle together, and there's the like cute moment when the guys hold their heads together, which we just talked about, which I found really inspirational. And even the fact that something we'll talk about later, the fact that the main tribe we're talking about is mixed race tribe, even though that there's all kinds of problems with that, and I'll get that in my dislike, I found that really, really inspirational, only because that probably would not happen.
Can I just say that this is one of the most stereotypically male likes that you've ever had?
Why is it a stereotypical male like?
Because the things that you find inspirational are like so generically misogynistic moments.
No.
Not misogynistic,
I've already said I don't like
masculine moments, like the two warriors bonding because they have gone and they have fought and they have conquered. I mean, they're just
I don't. You're not. Yeah, no. They freed slaves. So excuse me. They freed slaves and killed the evil demon guy. So.
Okay.
I'm not saying there aren't problems. I'm saying I enjoy. Look, you're asking me to come up with actual likes. I'm trying to come up with things that I at least found interesting.
Okay. Okay. I'll forgive you then.
Give me a break, man. Jeez. All right,
well,
Jen.
I suppose it's better than me liking a beard.
Because at least mine has a rationale to it.
Hey.
Sort of.
Well-coiffed beards are totally hot.
They are pretty hot. I don't have those. All right, Jen. First dislike.
So my first dislike, actually, it really is the crap geography. I had major issues with the geography portrayed in this film.
Can I just say I'm just surprised that you guys even paid that much attention to the film?
Oh my god! It's really painfully obvious, though. I mean,
I just wasn't paying that much attention.
As how could you not?
I was.
It's so.
The first 5 minutes
I mean,
of the film, I was just trying to.
It takes them like a few days to walk from snowy mountains to a jungle and then to the desert.
Okay, well, in defense of that, well, actually, it's the desert part that really... No, I mean, theoretically, if they weren't trying to set this in Egypt, there are portions of the world in which you can walk from snowy mountains to jungles to deserts.
I don't think any of that happens. Like, I just don't think that
not over the course of a few
Eastern
days.
Europe and Western Asia
no.
was a jungle during
no,
that time.
If anything, it should have been Asians... Asiatic sort of cultures going maybe down to India, then you might actually see some of those environments. And actually, now that I think about it, though, they would be starting at the, you know, desert and then going to the mountains and then going to the jungle. It just doesn't work in any way, shape or form, because obviously we know that contextually they're trying. It's sort of white people, mixed race, blah, blah, blah. Except not with blue eyes, whatever. And they're up in the mountains. And Julia, you mentioned that it's supposed to be taking place in the Urals, which I never even caught on to. So you must have looked that up.
I basically read the Wikipedia article on it, which tells about... So that explained the plot to me and why the choices were made. And I was just like, no, this doesn't...
No, it does, still doesn't make sense?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Urals to jungle, and this is taking into account that 10,000 years ago, we
12,000 years ago.
12,000 years ago. What?
because it's 10,000 BC,
and we're 2,000.
Sorry, 12,000 years ago. You're right. My bad.
Also, bad on Roland Emmerich for getting BC and not BCE.
Yeah,
jackass.
But given that it took place 12,000 years ago and climate was a bit different, even given that, it still makes no sense. Especially since if you go with the yes, they were going to Egypt. And they went north to Egypt. It was really, that's when it hit me how horrible it was. Because I was willing to go with the mountains to the jungle to the desert. I was fine.
Not to mention the fact that mammoths, Smilodons only existed in the Americas.
Right.
So.
What's the difference?
A Smilodon is the saber-toothed cat.
Oh, got it.
It did not exist anywhere except the Americas.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they were running into those.
Well, we only saw one, so maybe he was taken on a ship. I'm saying that seriously because in the story they say that the supposed Egyptian culture supposedly came from over the Grand Sea.
Over the Grand Sea because they were Atlanteans. That was one of my favorite parts.
I'm just saying.
No, I have to say Atlantis was supposed to have actually sunk in like 9500 BCE.
It doesn't matter. Well, obviously,
which is 500 timeline years later than,
is, yeah, that's true.
They're the timeline other is Atlantean
another major
culture.
Issue, but we'll get to that in a later dislike. So I'm just going for now, geography.
Okay, Julia, your first dislike.
Okay, it's going to be women. It's got to be women.
Yeah. Of course.
Here we go.
There are basically two women in the whole movie. There's old mother who exists to be the magical wise woman, and then Elevette, whose name is an anagram for the love.
Oh, come on.
Except that they didn't even bother to put an H in it. So it's actually an anagram for Tel-Love.
Hello.
Like, they couldn't have made her name Elevette.
Love.
No, I guess
Ooh,
not.
Love.
But,
You're
yes,
thinking too much about this.
Because she is literally... Because the two main characters of this story are the hero, Held, and the love interest, the love.
Yeah.
And her job is to do nothing except get captured and be rescued.
Yeah, that...
I mean, that's all she does.
That's exactly what my dislike is, too.
I will actually expand on the whole women issue.
Well, I'm not quite finished yet. No,
let Julie finish. Good. Let Julie have it. She's
my other thing about the women in this movie is that as far as I can tell, and as far as I've really come to make peace with this fact, apparently before about 1900, there really just weren't very many women in the world.
Yeah.
And so that's
why
they're so special, and we have to fight wars for them, because how else are we going to breed and continue our population? Because there are just like basically
there's only one woman
for the entire world.
See, now this is interesting, because if we just for a second took it as truth that there are like only five women in the entire world.
Spoiler, it is not true. It has never been true.
I'm saying a what if scenario. It suddenly casts their overprotectiveness in a very different light.
It's still not true and never has been true.
I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying if in Roland Emmerich's version of reality.
It's not even true in his version of reality.
Like, I'm just saying. This is a science fiction story waiting to be written. A species which...
Wait, no. This is a science fiction story. Not waiting to be written. This one has already been written, and it turned into a shit film called 10,000 BC.
True. Julia, did you finish? I didn't want to interrupt again.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done. I mean, I could go on, but who wants to hear this? It's just depressing.
I'm going to go on.
Yeah,
go
we'll
on.
Have much more.
Okay,
I'll agree with you enthusiastically. Go on.
Well, my big problem was, again, there were only two women that we – I think there are only two we ever saw.
I saw a third one at some point.
Are you sure it was a woman?
I think so, because she's like feeding people water, and I think there was another chick next to her. Because women obviously don't participate in
labor. Oh, yeah, that's
labor.
Basically what women do is they
only give men water. Yeah.
Yeah. So my big problem is similar to what you were saying, Julia, is the only – quote, woman of consequence in the film isn't actually a person. She's just an object, which she's basically like a talking couch.
Like, right? Twilight?
No, worse than that, because Bella actually has like maybe 50 lines, right, in the film. They're terrible lines, and she's not really a person either, but at least she has more lines.
Bella also has agency. I mean, she doesn't use it to do good things, but if you look at, like, New Moon, she's constantly trying to get into situations where she's close to death.
That's true.
And she is putting herself in those situations deliberately, making that choice.
Can I just say that I think it's hilarious that Stephanie Meyer went on to write The Host, which is literally about a woman not having any agency. I love it.
So yeah, so that's my dislike, is just the fact that the whatever her name is, the love,
Evelette,
whatever stupid name, that she just basically is, she's not a real person, she's not even a real character, she's just an object, a literal object. And I think that this is possibly, of all the films we've watched, this is possibly the worst, in which the worst case of objectivism, whatever you call it, dehumanization. There you go, objectification, yeah, or dehumanization of a female character. Because even the male character, like, if you could make an argument like, oh, but this is kind of like a mythology, like an early mythology. Well, the male character has an extraordinary amount of character development in comparison, and she has none. She's just a thing, and that sucks.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish it had been a story about the old mother instead.
Yeah, I think
she was
kind of
cool,
better story.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because she's like a mystic and like she has magic powers and I don't know. She like can, I don't, whatever. Can, but yeah. Hmm. Should we mention what we're drinking?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We didn't do that.
So I am drinking Manischewitz Kosher Concord Grapey Alcohol.
Manischewitz, come on.
I'm not Jewish.
Not know how to pronounce
it. You don't have to be Jewish to know how to pronounce that, except I can't pronounce anything when I'm drinking.
You may be important, may be glad to know this is not for Passover use. So.
Hmm.
It's a sweet wine. So there you go. That's what I'm drinking. And it's almost gone. I'm such an alcoholic.
All right.
Jen?
I am drinking a delicious ale called Sour in the Rye. It is a sour rye ale from the brewery, which is a fantastic brewery in Southern California. And it's delicious. And I've bought myself two bottles, and they cost me like $54 to do that. This is the most expensive alcohol I've had in a while, and it's just beer. But it's so good.
Julia?
We're out of whiskey, which is very sad, so I'm drinking apple cider with vodka instead.
Yay! I have some vodka. Would you like some of my skinny girl?
No, I'm just drinking regular vodka because I don't need to have pretend diet vodka. What's the point?
It's not pretend diet vodka. It's flavored vodka.
Okay, it's just straight vodka in apple cider.
Okay. What's wrong with skinny girl vodka?
I have no idea. It just sounds like something horrible. I think like, oh, it must be full of Splenda. That sounds awful.
No, it's not. That's a silly name. I'm sorry.
No, I just like think anything that wants to brand itself skinny girl probably can't taste good.
It's actually not bad. It's better than Smirnoff, so. But that's, you know, turpentine is better than Smirnoff, so. Alrighty, so why don't we go to our next, our second like. So, Jen, your second like.
Oh, the mammoths.
Yes! Oh,
because the mammoths awesome. Apparently had one of the best represented unions in this film. Yes,
we're going to that old shtick,
old joke. But seriously, lots of mammoths, and they really are the ones that win the day. However, I have to give the caveat of if they were in any way, shape, or form, tying this to how elephants were used in Egyptian culture or many other cultures, elephants are not actually patriarchal. They are matriarchal, so it wouldn't have been the bull that led the charge. It would have been the what are they called when they're women?
I don't know, but you're right. Yeah, in elephants proper, the female elephants
they are the ones rule, but I still did like the mammoths. I thought it was cool, and this probably is because I read a lot of the Cave Clan of the Cave Bear series. So
yeah, I was just gonna say that.
Of mammoths, but it still made me happy to see them kicking butt.
Yeah, and I don't.
And it's the only good CG in the entire film.
That too. And I don't know, Julie, if elephants or mammoths, excuse me, are they one of your likes?
I thought they were good. I mean, it was kind of cool to see the mammoths running around.
But that's not one of your likes?
No. I mean, I'm happy to have other people like them, but
I'm pretty sure that the hunting method was also pretty.
The hunting method was ridiculous.
Most of the film is inaccurate, but
stop.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm gonna pause you, Julia, from going to your like, because my like is actually the elephants too.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
So I just thought to get it out of the way. So I'll just expand. Because I like the mammoths as well. I particularly like though the final scenes in which our hero, Mr. Hero Man, actually coaxes the bull to lead them in a charge, which
yeah,
it was kind of cool. It was a cool way to do it. You know, it was clever. And well, I don't know how clever it was, but I actually like that, the elephants had a lot of really good, a lot of attention paid to their individual movements. There's even like the very first time when he kills the first mammoth, they actually went to the lengths of getting the mammoth re-trapped inside the net, so he had to like pull his leg out while he was going for another charge. Like these little tiny details, they put more detail into the mammoths than they did the characters.
Yeah, and the rest of the movie, period. You
exactly.
know, I mean, it's like whoever they were like, all right, make us some mammoths, and the dude who made the mammoths was like, yay, I'm gonna make my entire career on this, and so he paid, you know, actual attention to movement and
or maybe he, instead of maybe that kind of lame version of that, it was really like, this is a guy who'd been waiting his whole life to do CG mammoths, and
yeah,
had studied
sure
mammoths
exactly
for like
what it was
like 25 years and finally he got the opportunity, and he was like, I'm gonna put so much attention into their fur and the little feeties and their
and unfortunately
their
he got stuck with making mammoths for this movie.
And that's when he realized, when he finished, and he saw the film, and he's like, no!
No! And then
just
he
like the Darth
himself.
Vader sound.
Pretty sad. Yeah.
Julia?
Oh, all right. So, yeah, I agree that the CGI was actually on the better end of CGI. They obviously spent quite a bit of money on it. Okay, so my second like is fairly silly like. But it genuinely gave me a moment of pleasure while watching the movie. And once everybody in the room, actually, I think it was my devastatingly handsome friend Jeffrey who pointed it out, and then all of us just cracked up. But they're going through the jungle, and the hero catches up to Evelette and is like, I'm never going to give you up. And Jeffrey was like, did he just Rickroll us? Yes, yes, he did. He Rickrolled us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Na, 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 na.
Yeah, don't sing
na,
it.
Na, na, na. It hurt you.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. Sorry.
Okay.
Is that it?
That was the whole thing.
Okay.
Do you need to expand on Rickrolling? Yeah, no.
No.
Oh, I mean, does the internet not know what Rickrolling is? Google it. You'll find out.
JFBI people.
We'll Rickroll you in the show notes.
We'll give you a link to some really cool mammoth stuff.
Wink, wink. Wouldn't it be cool if it was a video of mammoths singing?
Oh my god. Best possible combination of both our likes.
Yes. Okay, all right, let's go to our I don't know which dislike. Are we on second? Yeah, second dislike.
Second dislike.
Is that it? That's all we are? Okay,
yeah.
I'm first, right?
Yep.
Shit. So, I then, yeah, my second dislike was actually the whole women thing.
Well, we already covered that.
Yeah, I know. So that was my second dislike.
Did you have anything new to add to it, or do we just
want... Well, I mean, it's like my main dislike is so gigantic that I'm just going to... No, I thought I had something more, but I really don't.
Okay, Julia?
Well, I was going to go with, like, the whole matriarchal thing, but it turns out, because I decided to go Google that there's now apparently, like, disagreement on whether or not we had matriarchy prior ever. And I was going to be really disappointed that at no point in time do they ever show a matriarchal society within this film, even though I read too much Clan of the Cave Bears, obviously. Moving on.
Yeah, Julia, save us.
All right. Well, I'm just to get it out of the way, I'm going to go into some of the race problems because it's early in the call and I haven't gotten completely drunk yet. But, okay, so... You have this tribe that's living in the Ural Mountains, and they're full of all kinds of mixed races. You have one of the actors is Maori. The old mother is actually a Chinese-Jamaican woman, Mona Hammond.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. I mean, if you're going to go ahead and do people 10,000 BC, then you might as well go for some... weird amalgamation of people anyway, because they probably really didn't look like people nowadays for the most part. But and like, if you get this farther and farther away and into fantasy world, where basically apparently you can walk across the entire world in like 5 days, so why wouldn't they be mixing it up with other people? But it gets to be pretty problematic when the chosen one is a white boy. When the most special thing that nobody's ever seen before in the entire world is someone with blue eyes, because apparently blue eyes don't exist except for one person. And when...
Which is like, interesting for the Ural Mountains, but...
And the old mother is a magical Negro.
Essentially.
Yeah, not even essentially. She's the person who does magic. Like, yeah, so it's really kind of, oh, God. And then the white boy goes off on his quest to rescue his blue-eyed love interest, who is played by a Latino woman who is perfectly wonderful in From Prada to Nada, which is a retelling of Sense and Sensibility with a Latino cast set in L.A. in modern day.
Ooh, must have watched.
She plays the Eleanor character in that, and she's fantastic. But in this, she's basically forced to have fake blue eyes and play what basically reads as a white girl, and be the love interest object that the white boy goes off to rescue. When he goes off to rescue her, everybody he encounters is like, oh, dude, we know who you are because your white dad came before you, and we love him. You must be here to save us.
That's right.
And so then, like, he manages to get everybody together to fight the slavery that's going on, because, of course, it takes a white guy coming in to tell people that they could rise up, and they couldn't have done it without him. And it's just, I'm so done with it. Also, evil albinos? No.
Yeah, what was with that?
It's a really common stereotype, and it's really annoying.
And they were, like, blind albinos.
Well, that's really common, too, actually, in real life. Like, albinism comes with blindness often.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And deafness, like, both of those things, in animals and in people, so.
I didn't know that. Well, thank you for correcting me, so.
Yeah, I actually knew a girl in college. This actually came up with my friends the other night, too, because they were like, and they're all blind. And I was like, actually, that's pretty... reasonable.
Well, I guess the question I would have is, like, because it's a common stereotype, and this would not work for this film, but I mean, there is a historical precedence of, like, fear of albinism in people. So if this were
because they're the other,
right? So I imagine in a film that's better than this one, it would actually address that problem in some detail. Showing us the fact
that there hasn't been a single film that has addressed this in any way, shape, or form, except maybe that one with the hot guy.
Yeah, you're gonna have to be more specific than that.
The one with the albino character.
Are you talking about the Princess Bride?
No,
because that's kind of an evil albino.
Right, that is an evil albino. No, he's like the fact that the albinism is treated as an other, even though it shouldn't be, but he's got like science-y stuff fuck, what is the guy's name?
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll figure it out. I'll tell you in a second.
Okay. But yeah, and this is goes to one of my dislikes, too. And I just put it as, I don't think Roland Emmerich understands how population diversity works.
No.
Because for some reason, there are two non-monocultures, which is our good guys and then the bad guys, presumably because they have incorporated other peoples into their group.
Because they've had to go to the Ural Mountains to capture slaves.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is a very
really, really far away.
Yeah, even though there are whole bunches of tribes of people right next door. Yeah, but that's, but any case, right? So those are the two cultures that are not monocultures, but all the other ones are monocultures. So they're, when they go to the basically the deserts, right, they meet a bunch of African tribes, and they're each of them monocultures. And yet for some reason, our savior culture is one that is, has racial diversity. I use that word cautiously, and yet no reason for having that. Why would that even exist in the forms that it's presented at? It's not a matter of like.
Yeah, and yeah. I think this is one of the reasons why Jen and I were both kind of like, what? When you were like the inspirational stuff being told from today's viewpoint. Because in today's viewpoint, we do have this idea, this United Colors of Benetton Captain Planet idea that we need to have like the go team diversity that is a token diversity. And together, that diversity led by white people will save the world. And that's very much where this movie seems to be coming from.
Although Captain Planet's like teal.
Captain Planet.
And I mean, Captain Planet is one of the better ones, but it's still like, it's this idea that white people and then a few of their token friends will get together.
Yeah.
And save the world.
And the very special diverse team will save the world.
Except like, it can't not, just be. Yeah.
So the movie I was trying to think of was Powder. With Sean.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I didn't see that one.
It's probably should be on our torture list. It's pretty bad, but it's about it's about an albino kid that, you know, stirs things up in the rural community that he lives in. So, but it has magic.
There you go. All right. Shall we go to our third likes then?
Yeah.
Okay. Jen, your third like.
So,
the hell was that?
Remember, I couldn't actually find any likes, so I went with Mammoth because they had a well represented union.
Yeah, the union did a lot of work on their behalf.
And then, so this is a like slash dislike because it ties in with historical inaccuracies. But I thought it was really spiffy that it was actually portraying the only accurate thing that was going on in this film was that. The agricultural sort of beginnings and the crescent, fertile crescent stuffages that was actually happening at about the same time. So I really liked that there were people growing plants and that they were pretty plants. Nice.
So they only grow them at the end.
No, they show it earlier in the village. They show, and he's curious and he like runs his hands over them because it was really, and he like, he plucks some wheat or rye. Actually, I think it was rye that was one
of the.
Did
you watch the extended version?
No.
I don't remember any of this.
When he walks into that village, that first village, and he says they came through here, and it's the Africans with the spears and the. There's a brief portrayal of the fact that this village has started growing. That they've started agriculture.
Well, that makes sense now why they would give them the seeds afterward, yeah.
Right. I mean, we'll ignore the fact that they gave them seeds for things that
won't grow where they live.
Americas, but,
yeah.
You know, not won't grow with where they live. Didn't in any way, shape, or form grow anywhere near where they live.
Also couldn't grow where they live.
Probably.
Because they live in what is essentially the frozen north.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm.
Which conveniently is not very cold, even though it snows.
Corn and peppers, which are from South America.
Yeah, I love the when he eats the peppers and he's like. And I was like, yeah, oh, please save us this movie and just die.
You're right.
But no, he survived.
I still like that they, you know, showed that there was that transition from hunting society to.
Except it's not a hunting society, because if it was a proper hunting society, it would be nomadic.
Yes, that's actually basically true. As far as we can tell, Paleolithic people were pretty nomadic and were hunter-gatherers who kept moving on because they would deplete everything in an area.
But there was still that didn't necessarily happen right away. That was, I think, more of a generational thing. So for a period of time, you would pretty much stick to one area. I mean, and the mammoth hunting cultures did tend to stick to a place because of the, they would come through periodically. So I don't know. Maybe it wasn't the worst movie. No, it's still really bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. Let's just move to Julia because I'm getting really depressed.
Okay, what are we on? I'm supposed to like something?
Yeah.
I'm liking something. Okay. The musical cues in this movie were very helpful because they told me exactly what I should be feeling at any given moment.
Did they?
Yes, they did. Every time something happened, I'd be like, oh, we're having an epic journey. Oh, it must be a battle. Oh, I should be feeling sad right now. Well, it's good that I know that because I wouldn't have known otherwise. So the musical cue is doing its job.
That's so sad.
And yet it was still like a really dumb score because it didn't differentiate.
But very on point.
But very on point. It's very true. It
wasn't a bad score. It's probably
I've heard much worse. Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah.
Oh no. No. Don't go back there. Don't go back there, please. Okay. All right. My third like then, you know, the fact that this film reminded me how much I just really love snow and cold weather. Even though nobody who lives in the frozen north wears anything approaching what you would expect people living in the frozen north would wear.
They don't wear any clothes.
Any clothes at all.
Except for the women who have to cover their chests because, of course,
boobies.
They're concerned about that.
You can't see boobies. Boobies are bad.
Yeah.
Well, and would you really want to see the old mother's boobies?
I would. She's probably a sexy lady. She should, you know, this should be like Magic Mike. But it should be Magic whatever Martha. I don't know.
Magic Old Mother, because she doesn't have a name.
Right. I'm going to name her Martha.
Magic Martha.
That's making me think of Martha Stewart as a stripper. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. So that's really all I've got. I just like snow.
Snow.
I can see we're really stretching here.
I'm sorry, but there was not much to really like about this film because there were things that I would like in different kinds of films that in this film just did not work. Like, it just isn't as an example. Like, I really like the fact that the villain in Stargate talks in the creepiest freaking voice ever.
Oh, don't. Shh.
Okay, I'll stop. All right, let's go to our third dislikes then.
So third dislike. Just happens to be related to the thing that I just shh you on.
And that's my third dislike, too.
What the fuck is up with the bad guy's voices?
I don't know.
The evil Russian guy who steals people on his four-legged demon. And then he's like,
he's not
like,
Russian.
Rawr, I will talk evil voices.
He's not actually Russian.
We decided that he was a Russian villain, regardless of his actual ethnicity in real life.
He's actually French.
It doesn't matter. We decided he was playing the Russian villain. We're like, look, he's bald. He speaks in a low voice. They're in the Ural Mountains. Yeah, we're pretty sure he's a Russian villain.
More specifically, this low voice has been digitized to sound weird and somehow otherworldly.
And yep. Russian.
They do it and Russian. And
in
they
a
do
Hollywood
it
Russian way. Voice.
They do it with his voice, and they do it with the Almighty's voice.
Yeah.
Because somehow we can't take a cue of, I look evil, so therefore I am evil. That's not enough. We also have to hear them talking in this type of voice that reminded me of Darth Vader. Because for whatever reason, Darth Vader has, like, the ultimate bad guy voice. And it just made me angry.
And that goes to the thing I was saying is, like, in Stargate, it works because the villain is, he's an alien.
It's a fucking alien.
Right, and the voice is just really evil, and it just works. In this case, they have these crazy deep voices for reasons that make no fucking sense at all. Why?
Because so many people in this movie look alike that we want to make sure that you know when we're dealing with evil people.
What language are they speaking?
They actually created a bunch of languages for this.
Well, okay, I kind of like that then. You should have told me that earlier. I could have put that on my likes. Because they sounded like actual languages to me. Like, in the sense that they sounded like, when they were speaking them, they sounded like they were actually speaking another language. And I was trying to figure out if it's like they like tried to revive an ancient dialect of Egyptian or something.
Yeah, no, they decided to come up with fake languages that they created themselves, and they came up with something like 13.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that part is kind of cool. I suppose that should be one of my likes. I don't think I had it written down, but...
Well, guess what it is now? No. Yeah, so that's my dislike, too, is the weird, creepy demon voices, just to remind us that...
Just obnoxious. And meanwhile, you've got Omar Sharif, who usually has a fairly sexy voice, sounding kind of dumb as the narrator in this film.
Oh, that's right, him.
Yeah,
he sounded right? German.
Yeah, that's because Roland Emmerich is German.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that it was Omar Sharif until I looked things up, and then I was like, "Wait, what?"
He kept doing all these German sounds, and I was like, "Why are you doing that?" Nobody in this story speaks anything remotely close to German.
No. But everybody who spoke English, which was the default language, was accented in a weird way. I think it was supposed to be inconsistent and weird so that we all knew that it wasn't actually from this time.
Well, because, yeah, they weren't actually speaking, you know, English. They were speaking...
Caveman.
Free English.
Right, which went something like, you know,
okay, can I just say that? What's that film with Jack Black that has, like, the history of the
Year
world?
Year One or something like that?
Year One. That was actually a better movie than this.
That's really bad.
I did not see Year One.
Don't say anything else. They'll suggest it, and we'll have to watch it one day. Why would you do this to us?
It's not either science fiction nor fantasy.
It's Michael Cera in the Year One.
I gotta be honest with you guys. I'm not sure this counts as science fiction or fantasy either.
It is both of the fact that they've meshed things that happened in 2000 BC with things that obviously did not.
But like, it's kind of presented as a historical adventure movie and not actually as science fiction or fantasy.
Except there's magic.
Yeah.
There's a prophecy, I guess.
No, there's actual magic because the old mother dies and breathes new life into the empty husk.
That's a fairly weak premise for a fantasy, but
yeah, that's I feel like this story could have done the same thing without being a fantasy story. Like, you could take that fantastic element completely out of it and just be like, and you know, old mother died and Evelyn lived at the same time, and we all decided that was a legend.
Yeah.
You know, you could decide that happened because of magic, and it doesn't necessarily have had to do that.
And to be totally honest, that might have been more interesting if they had done it in a way that didn't make it clear that they were actually doing magic.
That was actually one of my dislikes, was the fact that this, you know, that was considered magic somehow.
Well, it was. It was very clearly magic.
They had to put magic into this. I think it was, you know, it's because of the fact that on one hand they were purporting to be, you know, sort of a examination of prehistory. They were also going with the sort of stereotypical, well, if we are showing cavemen, we must show that they believed in magic.
Which they might have had really certain mystical beliefs, but...
Yeah, I find it in the film, I don't know, was...
I think that if they had made a better film, it would have been a film in which the magic... It never made it clear to us that it was real.
Right.
That it was clear to us that we just really don't know what actually happened. And so the characters believe it's magic, but we don't necessarily know.
And it's all
Yeah, that would have been better.
Because then it would have given us mystery instead of this stupid piece of shit, so.
which some people have actually said is worse than Apocalypto, which I find.
I didn't think Apocalypto was that bad.
I did not see Apocalypto.
We're not watching it.
No.
There's way too much hearts being ripped out. I'm
gonna.
God, I wish there was more heart ripping outing in this film.
That's what when they were gonna sacrifice the one of the guys, I had hoped that what they were gonna do is because it's already ahistorical. So why not just make the Egyptians like heart ripping out people?
And it's a Roland Emmerich film. Where the hell is the explosions?
My third dislike is that this movie is just horribly boring. It felt like it was supposed to be an educational film. Like it had that feeling like somebody was going to make you watch this in like sixth grade and you'd be stuck in class, unable to leave while you would be excited because you get to watch TV in class. And then it would turn out to be like a really, really boring educational film, except that
the saber-toothed cat stalked his prey.
Except it wasn't even as good as that. And it wasn't accurate.
Oh, God. I really, really... some blog that I read that was going through the historical inaccuracies because I was like... Yeah, I knew there were
more research than I did.
Well, I knew there were going to be more historical inaccuracies than the ones I picked up on. I just was really curious which ones they were. But anyway, I was talking about how he really hoped that history teachers... Because granted, you know, not all of our educational professionals are the best educated in the world... that they might look at this and think, oh, it's a great movie to show prehistory. And then they show it to their students. And then the students grow up thinking that somehow this is an accurate portrayal of 10,000 BC. While also being incredibly bored by the entire thing, like Julia mentioned.
Well, yeah, I think the being bored would probably lead to them actually thinking it was real, because why would you make something that boring if it wasn't supposed to be real, right?
Oh my God, so true. And there wasn't even enough blood. I mean, this should be one of my dislikes. It's like, if this movie had been slightly more violent, then maybe we could get away
so
with
it. So the hero should have bathed his beard in blood.
Yes, because then no teacher would show it to their students. They wouldn't be allowed to. There needed to be, like, ripping out of hearts and spiking of heads. And the only blood in the entire film that I remember is when he, like, stabs the guy right at the end.
Was there blood?
Yeah. But not that they really showed. They just showed the staff was now bloody. That was it.
They also, like, his white robes turned pink.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they all kind of, like, turned pinkish red to show that it was very symbolic, you know?
Yeah.
Also, what was with the warlord guy?
I don't know. He was obsessed with the blue-eyed girl.
I don't understand him.
He was a very conflicted character.
Like, was he, like, a good-bad guy or just a bad guy? Like, a good-bad guy. Like, our hero is a good-bad guy because he's still a douchebag, but...
He was just a bad guy. He just... was neutral enough to not give a shit about the Almighty and only give a crap about the woman that he wants to have sex with.
He has just this weird way of going about it. Because, like, she's a slave, so, I mean, unless there's rules, he could just do whatever the hell he wants. But he, like, tries to woo her.
I know. Like, and really I said, he's a very conflicted character, so really, honestly, this is probably the most interesting character in the entire film.
I think that actually what was happening there is that there wasn't anything written into the script, so the actors were just trying to amuse themselves while making this.
That's probably true.
Okay.
All right.
It's time for our skit.
The Skiffy and Fanti Show presents The Great Walrus of Oz, a short fantasy skit that has almost nothing to do with the piece of crap movie we've been forced to watch this week. Almost. You all know the story. Dorothy was off minding her own business when some crazy old hag tried to kill her dog. So she ran off into the wilderness and got sucked up by Gary Busey's mouth and spit out into the land of Oz. That's basically where we're going to start, because we've got no budget for cool sound effects, except for the really annoying thing Sean is doing right now. Anyway... So Dorothy has crashed her house on top of a witch and stolen her slippers.
all you have to do is follow the yellow brick road, and you'll be home in no time.
Where does the red brick road go?
Oh, don't mind that. Nobody takes the red brick road.
Why not?
Because it takes you to a place called Jersey Shore, which is suspiciously like going into a drug-induced coma and waking up on Dr. Drew's celebrity rehab.
Yellow brick road it is.
Good. Now just follow it all the way to the radioactive, Emerald City, and ask to speak with the Great Walrus. Also, you can get a copy of Gene Owl's Clan of the Cave Bear on audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/Skiffy and Fanty and signing up for a 1-month free trial membership. You'll need it for later. Promise.
What a conveniently placed advertisement.
Indeed. Now be careful.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Quick, before they break out into their celebrity dance routine. Go, fly like the wind.
Come on, Toto. The sooner we get this over, the sooner I can check into rehab.
Follow the yellow brick road.
We represent the Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. We represent the Lollipop Guild. And we welcome you to Munchkinland! So, Dorothy went skipping along, mostly because, just like Thomas Covenant, she didn't have much else to do while her delusions consumed her mind, turning her into an empty husk fit for a Twilight fanfiction. Meanwhile, in an evil castle somewhere dark and foreboding, possibly Mitt Romney's house after the election, the Wicked Witch of the West started plotting with her flying monkeys.
Ha ha ha! I'll get that Dorothy and her little dog, too. And soon, soon, my pets, I will have the power to overthrow the Great Walrus and turn Oz into the perfect world. A life-size replica of Westeros.
So why would we do that?
The Iron Throne! It will be mine at last.
I don't know. The Emerald City is kind of nice. If it weren't for their hidden nuclear reactors, we wouldn't have wings and developed brains. Just look at Frank. He wrote a novel last week using his own feces and a piece of parchment made from munchkin skin. It doesn't get much more intelligent than that.
Silence, mutant monkey. This isn't a Franz Kafka story. It's my story. The greatest story ever told.
You die at the end. Not a cool death. You get melted by a bucket of stagnant water. That's got to be the stupidest weakness ever. At least Superman's allergies were to things found in alien worlds.
You will be silent, slave.
Holy, what? You turned him into a chicken.
Technically, he's genetically augmented hen with a unique ability to find one's lost keys on a rainy day.
But.
Enough. It's time to get this Dorothy and her little dog and turn this world upside down. Fly, my pretties, fly. Ha 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 ha.
Meanwhile, Dorothy and Toto came upon a field and discovered something strange. Okay, it was a friggin' talking scarecrow. Can you imagine that? It's like the guy who made Jeepers Creepers went back in time and said, you know what? Let's put a scarecrow in these stories because kids love scarecrows, just like they love Tim Curry and Clownface. Yeah.
My goodness, look at you. You're alive.
Well, of course I am. What kind of silly observation is that?
Well, I'm sorry, but we don't have talking scarecrows where I come from.
What do you have?
Drunk college students, delinquents, and super douche political candidates.
Strange. So what do you want?
I need to find the Great Walrus.
Are you following the yellow brick road?
Obviously. I'm standing on it. What's the matter with you? Don't you have a brain?
Technically, no. I'm made of straw. But since I'm capable of intelligent conversation and bumbling about my straw legs, there's clearly some sort of hidden force that gives me intelligence. Thus, I have a brain, but perhaps one that is positronic, lying in a cloaked laboratory someplace. A place with a view, I expect.
Okay. So, will you help me find my way?
Will you help me collect Archie comics and learn how to play with Pogs?
Sure!
Well, alright then, let's get moving.
Meanwhile, 39 miles to the west, Monkey 2 and Monkey 3 discuss their lives.
Frank? do you think it's about time we get health coverage? I mean, she keeps turning everyone into weird genetically modified animals and stuff, and it's a bitch to get reversal therapy on just $60,000 a year.
Here's your problem, Martin. You've got a bad case of the thinkies. You spent too much time jabbing about healthcare this and Obama that, and a Mitt Romney would have done this, that you don't stop for 2 seconds and smell the poppies.
That's because the poppies in this world would put you into a permanent sleep.
See what I mean? You're beyond help, man. Open your mind to the poppy. There's a whole new world out there, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no or where to go or say we're only dreaming. A whole new world.
Is it a dazzling place I never knew?
That's the spirit. You can be in a whole new world with me, friend. It's called Disneyland.
Do they have dental?
No, but at least we'll get weekends off.
I'm in.
And they were never heard from again. Meanwhile, the Wicked Witch of the West realized that her flying monkeys had deserted her army, leaving behind their chickenized brother. Determined to end the great walrus's reign, she decided to set off for the Emerald City herself. Also, apparently Dorothy and the Scarecrow managed to completely bypass half the story you all fondly remember. No Tin Man, no acid trippy apple-throwing tree monsters, just skipped right by to conserve time. And now they're at the Emerald City, or something.
Oh, great walrus! I have come because someone named Glinda said you could send me home, and the Scarecrow needs a brain.
Whoa, don't be free, honey. I came for the gambling. Emerald City Casino, here I come. Yeah!
Fat lot of good you are. Okay, Mr. Walrus, could you just help me?
And why would I do that,
Boredom?
But my people left me when the furry elephants died off, and now I'm so lonely. Will you be my friend?
Not so fast, Dorothy. You will do no such thing. Oh ho, no you won't.
Go away, wicked witch. You always take away my friends, and it's not fair. You took all the flying monkeys.
I pay better.
Only because you bought Walrus Bar out of its market share through illegal finance deals with Wonderland companies.
It's called capitalism. Get used to it.
But I'm so lonely.
If this were a movie, it would look like Michael Bay, J.J. Abrams, and Roland Emmerich spliced their genetics together, created a mutated baby director, and let it have free reign.
Quiet! You will give me your slippers or I'll turn the walrus into candles.
Look, if I give you the slippers, can I just go home?
Never.
What if I throw in a copy of Justin Bieber's latest album?
Deal.
And that's basically how the story really ended. The Wicked Witch took over, turned all of Oz into a replica of Westeros, and sent the Great Walrus on a writer's retreat cruise near Norway. 10 years later, they started dating and got married, only to give birth to a time-traveling squirrel monkey named Spidget McAllister. But what happened after that is for another story.
Dun dun dun!
The end!
Let's go into our fourth likes.
All right, fourth let's
likes.
Do it.
Oh, crap.
Jen, fourth like.
Well, I had thought of a different one, but now I'm just going to have to go with pretty boats.
Oh, my God.
The boats were pretty. They didn't really look like birds. And that whole concept of, like, people being dumb enough to mistake them for flying away, I mean, I suppose it would work. Kinda. Sorta. Okay, not really. But they were pretty. The end.
Alright, Julia.
Okay, so I think actually I'm gonna have to go with the white sphere. It looked kinda cool. It's the thing that the right. leader of that tribe is, but it looked kinda cool. It kinda looked like it had some weird little animal vertebrae on it. We thought it might be a turtle. We're not really
sure.
Where did
they get the turtle from?
Well, actually, that's something that people around that time period actually ate.
Turtles?
Like, they were killing...
Turtle.
They were killing all the small animals they could alongside, like, occasionally getting a mammoth. They'd be like, killing rabbits and turtles and other small animals.
I wonder what mammoth tasted like.
But did they... Are there a lot of turtles in the Ural Mountains?
Well, that's why there are no turtles left there. Because they all got killed in 10,000 BC.
Yes! That's awesome. Okay.
Basically, the leader of that tribe was effectively the St. Patrick of 10,000 BC, carrying the white spear, driving all the turtles out of the land.
Okay, my favorite thing about this movie is officially the recreation of historical events that probably never took place, but would have been awesome if they did.
Okay.
Delay. Turtle killer.
That's the movie.
Maybe he can come and kill all the turtles in the Michael Bay recreation of Newton the Ninja Turtles that should never, ever exist.
Oh, no. Don't destroy my childhood.
Yeah, that's what we're all saying to Michael Bay, but he's not listening.
No, of course not, because he's...
Oh, come safe. On. You can't really destroy the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because they're lame in the first place.
No, they're not. Have you seen the original comics? They're awesome.
Yeah,
I gotta agree with Sean on that.
Comics.
They're badass.
They're pretty awesome.
They are. That's true.
So what? That's right, foo.
Yeah, but they're also super cheesy, so like...
Not in the original comics.
Yeah, the comics! Nobody's read the comics!
They should, though. They should read the original comics, because it's really, really good.
Is it sad that I'm slightly excited about the new G.I. Joe movie, just because Bald Man is in it?
That's real specific. Bald
Bruce
Man.
Willis!
Okay.
And he's playing Joe. That's kind of awesome. Sorry, on a completely unrelated note.
Anyway, my fourth like... That's not fair. I'm trying to save my favorite like for the end.
Okay.
No
turtles. What's your fourth like?
I mean, there was some nice grass.
I'm telling you, that was the whole planting thingy.
Oh, the grass guild. That's something I forgot to say in my boring rant, was that at the end of the movie
the grass guild.
At the very end of the movie, when they've taken their agricultural seeds back of apparently corn and pinto beans, which do not grow, and we're not, anyway, never mind that historical inaccuracy. But as they're, like, there at the very end, Delay and Evelette are sitting there, and Delay is, like, fingering the grass, and he's like, look how fast it's growing.
They make
And we were like, wait a second, sexy. they just encapsulated the entire movie. It's about as entertaining as sitting and watching grass growing for 2 hours.
But you forgot the metaphor. The grass is a metaphor for babies.
It doesn't matter. I like to think that that's actually the whole point of the movie, is that it's about as fun as watching grass grow for 2 hours.
Although the grass is really pretty.
I probably would have actually enjoyed watching the grass grow for 2 hours more than I would have enjoyed.
There'd be some interesting stuff that would happen with grass, like bugs would crawl on it, and, you know.
So, I mean, I'm glad we're talking about grass right now, because they made grass seem really sexy, and my husband just walked in the room and stripped for me, so...
Oh, that's so hot. Good
timing, right? So sexy.
Tell him...
Hi, honey.
Tell him I've got a fiver for him.
Duke's got a fiver for you. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, all right, so fourth dislike, Jen.
Oh, we're on four. Yay, four. Where's my four? Oh, my fourth dislike was that there were no aliens in this movie.
Okay. Yeah, because the bad guy at the end turns out he's just human.
Yeah, and actually I think that was not true. I think he really is an alien from Stargate, and they just chose not to show his, like, you know, he didn't have time to warp back to his, you know, ship.
You're just telling yourself this so the movie's more interesting.
Yes, but still.
Okay, all right.
Very disappointed that there was no Stargate in the movie. that there should have been a Stargate in.
All right, Julia.
Okay. Horses. We got to talk about horses for a minute here.
Dude, you...
In 10,000 BC, that was about the time that people started hunting horses to eat their meat.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't domesticate horses until at least a good, like, 4,000 to 6,000 years later. And we certainly weren't riding them. They're riding them and, like, putting them in bridles with bits and things. This totally did not happen.
Well, yeah, fairly extensive leather work. Not to mention, see, you're on my last dislike. You can't do this.
How did they even forge the metal to get, were they stone bits? I just don't understand.
Yeah,
the same way they stone. Made the pyramid, the gold pyramid top.
Yep, the same way.
A giant
But like horses, you just know. So much know on the horses.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a point at which when the horses first show up that you should have already turned your brain off.
Yeah.
But apparently you guys didn't. I did. I stopped thinking.
I was unable to turn my brain off for that.
There's a reason this was as boring as it was.
Because they're horses?
No, because the horses were... The reason why I couldn't turn my brain off was because the movie was so boring. If it had actually been a good movie, I wouldn't have cared.
Exactly.
That's really sad.
Yep.
Because good storytelling can, like, you know, you just be like, I give it a pass.
Yeah, it's totally plausible, but I give it a disbelief. If the movie's good, you can go with the suspension of disbelief. There are movies that are so bad that you just can't even give them the benefit of the doubt. Like this one.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. My fourth dislike, then, is just so we can get to our fifth likes and hopefully close this out before midnight, is the fact that I just don't believe that the good guy culture is capable of actually surviving. I don't know how they've done it this long. Because
we never actually see them eating anything. They apparently don't wear clothes even though they live in the snow.
Yep. When they hunt in a way that seems counterintuitive to me, in which they sneak up in the middle of the herd.
They're just going to get stomped.
Exactly. I don't know if the, like, Roland Emmerich has ever met an elephant, like, in the wild.
I'm going to guess no.
Okay. Because I've seen, you know, like, TV shows and elephants.
I'm going to guess that Roland Emmerich hasn't done a lot. Like, take a basic history course.
Do you think he knows what elephants are?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's sort of like running with the bulls, right, Sean?
But what's wrong with running with the bulls?
Well, I mean, hunting mammoths. It's a lot like that, right?
I wouldn't say it's a lot like that. I would say that...
It's nothing like that. And...
But if you were Roland Emmerich, you might.
Oh, yeah.
That's my point.
Sure.
But except that it doesn't make any sense, because with running with the bulls, you start ahead of the bulls. In this case, they start... Like, they start in the middle of them. They have to, like, crawl in and sneak into the middle of the pack. Even though it would make perfect sense just to stand behind them and go, booga, booga, booga! And, like, they would still be scared in the same direction.
You might well think that. I couldn't possibly comment.
Why? Do you know something about elephants we don't know?
No, I'm just stealing a line from House of Cards.
Fair enough.
The evil political guy says every time he... wants to agree with you but doesn't want to go on the record as having said anything. You might well say that. You might well think that. I couldn't possibly comment.
Well, that's awesome. All right, what's next?
Fifth like.
Cliff Curtis.
Okay.
Done.
I do like him.
Do I have to explain myself on this one? I mean, literally, he is the best thing about this movie.
No, he was pretty great.
I mean, not only is he the only decent actor in it, he's also the best looking actor in it. And
yeah, he's an attractive man.
He's a very attractive man.
I don't actually think that the actors are not decent actors. I think that this movie is just that bad. Because I think that a lot of these people are actually... I think a lot of these people are actually decent actors if they're actually told to act.
Yeah, that's true.
But as far as I could tell, there wasn't actually a story here, and no one was given any direction whatsoever.
Were there even any lines? I mean, suddenly
in the movie?
If there
were a few.
In voice.
There were a few, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we probably had more dialogue in our skit than they had the whole movie.
I'm actually fairly certain of that.
Yeah, like every line that was delivered was really slow in that way that, you know, people before they learned how to talk properly spoke, which was to say, like, oh, you are here and alone. You will never be alone with me.
You sound like Edward.
Caveman like Jane. Ugh.
Yeah, because Edward is actually secretly from the Paleolithic age.
Yeah, but no. So, super hot. I've had a crush on him since Whale Rider. And he makes me happy.
I'd kiss him.
Yeah. Oh my god, he was in Rapa Nui too. Oh.
Right, Julia, give us your fifth like so we can get going.
My fifth like you guys are not going to like. Uh-oh. My fifth like is that it was actually a lot less violent than I thought it might be going in. And so it didn't have so much horribly squeaky gore, which actually would have made me enjoy it even less than I already did.
Wait, what?
I liked that it was not terribly violent. I liked that the movie was not terribly violent because violence squicks me out, and I didn't really want to have to deal with that. I'm glad that nobody was in there.
Do not go watch Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters.
Yeah,
not just because it's not
I kind of got the impression from the previews that it was going to be like that. Yeah, so I'm not super into violence. Like I have to turn away from things and cover my ears a lot. I didn't actually have to do that at all this movie.
Despite the fact there's a lot of death.
Yeah, there's a lot of death and there's a lot of like killing stuff, but I actually got really curious about what was really going on in the same time period, and I ended up watching a National Geographic documentary called Journey to 10,000 BC. And you can watch it free online if you look it up. And they had like a scene in there where animals were chowing down on a mammoth, and that was much squickier. And I was like, oh, God, that's gross. And I kind of had to turn away, even though it was all CGI. So,
really, the greatest thing about this movie is it just made you so angry about the historical inaccuracies that you had to go find out the truth.
And the truth turned out to be more squiggly than you expected.
Well, I knew it was totally a squeaky time. I mean, like, it's people tearing things and animals tearing each other apart. It's that's gross. But
I'm so hungry right now.
There's so much wrong with you.
Husband just came home and he smells like tacos. I'm just saying.
You realize you're inviting Sean to come eat him.
Oh gosh, I'd make a quick meal.
Sorry.
Her husband's a tiny guy. I could eat him in 6 or 7
images
bites.
That were not at all appropriate.
Let your husband know. I'll send him a letter.
Gay men are sexy. Just that.
I have to say, like, I was really glad that it wasn't terribly violent. And I was really glad that even though it made no sense at all, they didn't actually do anything to the women they captured. Like, there was graphic rape scene. Because, it really didn't make any sense whatsoever. I have no idea why they just, like, took a slave from a really faraway region and then very carefully transported her really far without ever raping her, but I was
maybe
okay with
they were
that
very good people who didn't believe in rape.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad they didn't do it because I know what the story would have been like if they had rape.
Oh,
and
it would have been
a more interesting story. I mean,
No, it wouldn't have been. It would
I don't
have been
want to
even
say
worse.
Yay, rape. But,
No. It would not have been better.
It would have been a terrible story. I don't think they would have done a good job with it at all. But I was glad that they didn't do that because I didn't need to see that.
I know exactly what the story would have been like. She would have got raped and then he would save her and then suddenly everything would go away. As if somehow getting her man would solve all of the trauma of being raped, which is total fucking bullshit. But
yeah. So. It would have been bad, but so I'm glad that they didn't actually go there because I didn't really want to see that. And I think that the reason why they didn't was because they really were trying to make this a movie that kids could watch. I feel sorry for all the kids who might have had to watch it.
Oh, right. I think
but at the same time, I am really glad that it didn't have violence because I didn't want to have to see that.
Fair enough.
Okay, my last dislike.
No, wait. I haven't given my last like yet.
Hurry up.
You hurry up. Shut up.
You hurry up.
Okay, well, my last like is the fact that Camilla Bell's character died.
You liked that?
I hate you.
And the reason why is because her... they made it so that we were supposed to feel sympathy for the fact that she died, but I actually just really kind of just wanted that to be the ending. I wanted her to be dead so that there because might actually be some sort of story there.
The slightly unexpected nature of her death. In terms of if she had actually died, then it would be kind of subvert the whole hero and the love and
love. A little bit,
Romeo,
not fully,
Juliet-ish.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And it would have just been more interesting, and it would have just been a perfect fit. It would have been like the world saying no to completely empty husk people. Empty husk people die. And then there are no women left in this world, and so the human race dies.
Most of the characters in this film probably should die.
That'll fulfill all of the things I really hope after watching a film like this. So
that's true.
It's the end of human civilization as we know it. That's it. You're welcome.
I'm sorry. I just got by a man wearing a very funny hat. Anyway.
All right, fifth dislike, Jen.
Fifth dislike. So we've kind of covered it in quite a bit of detail, but my biggest dislike overall was the complete bastardization of history that went into the making
of
it.
That's my fifth dislike.
I mean, well, it's the worst thing overall about this movie. There are a lot of really bad things about this film, but I mean, you went into this a little bit, Julia, that it had this sort of the demeanor of a historical film, and yet there is nothing accurate about it in any way, shape, or form. Yes, I realize that you said that Africans live in Africa, but are they actually in Africa? I don't really know, because there's a guy from India that apparently is working with a white guy who's the Almighty, who's building pyramids. How does that work?
They're African and, trees.
Like, the whole fact that they came from mountains, which were south of Egypt, which I'm pretty sure means that they were Nubia, which means that there were no white people. Slightly frustrating. Let's go into mammoths being around while they were making the pyramids. Didn't happen. Nor did they ever domesticate them.
Also, the pyramids came several thousand years later.
And they came 8,000 years later. What the hell? The gold. Like, even knowing...
You know what I just figured out?
Steel. Not made until, like, 5,000 BC.
You know what this movie is, actually, right?
What?
The date's wrong. This is a creationist movie. It's actually... The 3 years before the birth of Christ.
5 days ago?
Yeah. Because the Earth is actually 6,000 years old. So it's not actually 10,000 BC. It's 4,000 BC.
It's 4,000 BC. Except that, maybe that actually makes more sense. Animal domestication.
Except that
horses.
Then there should have been dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's true. But they had the ostriches, which were about as close to dinosaurs as...
You mean the terror birds.
People... Might get, yeah. Come
the terror
on.
Birds. No, those are real things, but they didn't happen in that time period.
No, of course they didn't, because nothing, the anachronism of this film was just so bad.
That is true. That is a true thing.
It made me angry so many times.
I would like to ask you one question.
Yes.
When you're building a pyramid in the middle of the desert, where do you find all the wood for that scaffolding?
That's a very good question. They obviously shipped it from the jungle in Nubia that is also full of white people. And they build ships. Ships!
Also, they have like a telescope or a sextant or something.
Right?
Yeah, it's something like a sextant.
I just
kinda,
don't.
Yeah.
I have no.
Come on! And then they top it off with the corn kernels! Corn!
That's corn. Also, this is not exactly historical inaccuracy from that point of view, except that it's still inaccuracy. The Smilodons, like the largest ones, as far as we know, are about the size of lions today.
Right.
So this, like, being like 7 foot tall and much higher than a human didn't make any sense.
Also, like, I'm sorry, but they made this whole narrative about how he rescues the saber-toothed tiger and it comes back to, like, be his spirit guide, and then he disappears. And I just thought, if you're going to go that route, why not have it be, like, his companion? That would be so cool. He's, like, going into battle with a giant freaking saber-toothed tiger, and it's, like, eating people's heads and stuff. That'd be awesome.
Because, Sean, that would have been actually cool, and this movie doesn't do anything that's actually cool.
Wouldn't it be even cooler if he rode on top of it?
That would break the rules of this movie not being cool.
Oh. Maybe we should remake this movie.
No, seriously? No one should ever remake this movie.
10,000 BC, awesome version.
This movie would not exist. It just... Everyone should really go read. IMDb actually has a fantastic sort of breakdown of the really, really gross errors in the film.
Also, the evil guy in the pyramid has, like, this really finely woven white gown robe thing.
Silk?
How's he getting that?
We don't know.
Obviously, the Asians were far advanced in creating silk.
And giving it to just one guy. Yes.
Shipping to Egypt.
The thing that I just don't understand is this: if you had kept it historically accurate, it's not like you would have had to make too many major changes. Like, okay, instead of making it 10,000 BC, you just move it forward, or you get rid of the pyramids and you just make maybe an early advanced civilization is what they meet up against. And they're not making pyramids, they're doing something else, like mining or something. I don't know. But, like, you could do it where, like, you could minimize the amount of historical inaccuracies and still have the same story.
Oh my god! Even the blue eyes! That apparently didn't even happen genetically until 6,000 to 8,000 years ago. Even something as simple as that!
Do you think Roland Emmerich knows how to read?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
Okay.
You know what? It's really disappointing because, honestly, I'm a big Roland Emmerich fan when he's not making dumb films. Oh, well, so, no.
When is he not made a dumb film?
All of his films are dumb, but some of them are really fun dumb. So you can, like, you know, like I said, there's that whole suspension of disbelief. Like, Independence Day.
Okay, I'll give that to you.
Come on!
That's only because Will Smith's in it.
However, how many Roland Emmerich films have been on our torture cinema list?
2012. Possibly one of the worst
films. And we haven't even gotten to Godzilla.
No. Okay. All right. Julie, did you want to add anything else? Because you and Jen had stuff, so...
No, I'm done. I mean, like, I could keep going, but I don't need to keep going. Forever. I think we've all talked exhaustively about all the very bad things in this movie.
Okay. Well, I'll give my last dislike then, and we'll get to our scores. And my last dislike is related to my last like, which is the fact that Camilla Bell's character actually lived.
See, I think that any movie where you're like, really, if she had died, then we would have killed all the women in the world.
Exactly.
Because old mother died, and she would have died. I mean, I guess the positive thing from that would be that by taking it further into speculation, we would guess that every single person in that movie would die, and then there would be no more world, which might be a better outcome.
If the two women in 10,000 BC had perished, humanity would have died off, and this film never would have been made.
Unless Roland Emmerich secretly was telling us that the men had become hermaphrodites, who could, like, do like, with those frogs that switch genders and, like...
That, yeah. I think, is putting way too much intelligence on Roland Emmerich.
Or this is how the Immaculate Conception came out, and that's where Jesus comes from. Is the last women dying out in the old days... And then somehow they survive at least another 10,000 years.
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
No, I much prefer the story in which this movie is never made because humanity dies off. And then we never watched it.
But yeah, I'm not really in favor of Camilla Bell's character dying. Like, I feel like movies where women don't always die is good.
If it helps, I kind of, if more characters died that I didn't like, that would be in my like list. So it wouldn't have just been Camilla Bell, but like none of the important characters, like the only character that died that I don't want to die was
the only Curtis. I would have preferred that the only people who lived in this film were Curtis
and the old mama
and the old woman, the old mother.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the only people.
That's pretty much the only people I want to live. I just want them to hang out together.
And a small part of me actually would have preferred the evil, you know, like warlord guy to live, because as I said, he was probably one of the most interesting characters.
See, I think a better choice for this, if you were going to do that, is for Held to die, the Delay to die. And
right,
have
yeah.
Evelette never go through the fake death, because that's just bullshit. Instead have her run off with the warlord.
Yeah!
That's what I thought was going
to
happen.
Then she could bring life to the people, and it would all be prophecy fulfilled, and it would be a much better story.
That's what I thought was happening.
The whole kind of weirdness of like her being the actual character from the other prophecy, and then like still somehow relying on him, that just made me angry.
That's a much more interesting movie, because that would change the way we look at the Warlord. Like, on the one hand, he's a bad guy, but he would be like the bad guy who has like a heart. And
yeah, he was kind of a bad guy, but he was like also, like you were saying, trying to woo her.
Yeah.
Right. He could have just raped her. He could have just done his deed and been done. But he doesn't. And I want to know why. Why is he different than the other ones? Because the bald, creepy guy with the beard would have just like been
done. Can I just say that as much as it might be interesting, might have made a better movie. Do you really want to know why, or are you just glad that this movie is over and done with and will never, ever be made again?
It depends. If we're finding out why because he's the new main character...
Oh, my God.
Then yes.
We're finding out why because we want to end the podcast because it is midnight.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. All right.
Exactly.
So let's get to our grades. So, Jen, what grade would you give this?
F. I'm just so done with this movie. F. F, 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 F.
All right, Julia?
I'm going to have to give it a D. It was horrible. But it was just boring and doesn't deserve an F.
There's nothing redeeming about it, though.
It doesn't deserve my hatred.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's horrible. It's awful. But it was just, no.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't deserve the lowest grade.
I get
you. Okay. All right. Well, the lowest grade's an F minus.
Dookie.
Yeah. It doesn't deserve... Well, it is made a fail, though. Maybe it does need an F. I don't know.
Give it an F plus. How about that?
No, a plus would be somehow...
No, maybe good I should just give it an F and be done with it. It's daily on all.
All right, so F and F. I'm going to give it an F plus.
So it gets like an F
ish.
With a little line.
Yeah,
with a little bit of positive in there.
I think it's just because there are a couple moments that I enjoyed.
We want to know more about the bad guy.
I mean, really, if I was
the thing
being...
Because I don't actually want to know more about anyone in this movie. I just never want to have to watch them again.
Never. The great thing about this feature is you'll never have to watch those again, but you will have to watch another shitty film.
Oh, that is true.
Ah, you bastard!
All right, guys, so that pretty much does it. So, we'll get out of your hair. So if you want to suggest a film, you can do that. The information will be at the end. And that's it. So see you all next week.
Toodles.
Bye.
Bye.
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
You're just another weak human afraid to face death.
Pass in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you, always.
End of line.